Howdy, Hillsboro. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all know what time it is. It is Sunday, and we're here at 97.9 The Hill and on Chapelboro. Thank you very much for joining us here on Howdy Hillsboro. My name is Eric Pruitt. I am a crime author and a bartender down at Yonder Bar in Hillsboro. Joined as always by my partner in crime, Alexis Bravos, massage therapist and bartender. How you doing, Alexis?
I'm great, Eric, but I'm wondering why you've taken to pronouncing my name Alexis.
I'm going to put that A right up there out front, dude. Right up front. Because you're A number one in my book.
All right.
Is it Alexis or Alexis?
It's Alexis. You like we all Alexis? Know this. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Make a note.
Well, I'd love to talk to you more about that, but instead, why don't we tell everybody what of the iconic Hillsboro locations we're hanging out at today?
We are currently climbing Okinichi Mountain to get to the top, and it's threatening rain. We see some clouds, but we don't care. We're troopers, so let's do this.
No, we're crazy, man. We're crazy. We are hung over as hell because this last weekend has been a crazy weekend. We're so glad everybody just showed up and partied with us. Thank y'all for coming out to Yonder Bar and partying. And so we need a little cardio. Wait, do you hear that?
Yeah, what is that?
That sounds like it's typewriter. Like, who's typing on Okinichi? Oh, my goodness. Well, you look over there. It is Hillsboro crime novelist J.G. Heatherton typing. J.G. Grant, how you doing?
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm sorry to report. I am one of those typewriter guys. I carry it around everywhere I go, even up here on beautiful Okinichi Mountain. I see some lightning dancing on the horizon. I'm a crime author and not a bartender.
No, but you are quite the crime. J.G. Heatherton, the J stands for genius. The G stands for Grant. Grant, you've been on a little, you've got this book. I happen to have it right here in my bag. What Lies Beneath? This is a book that's a murder mystery set in Hillsboro, North Carolina. That's something else. Why'd you set a book in Hillsboro?
Well, Hillsboro is a great little town, and I stole a lot of the different locations when I wrote. This is What Lies Beneath is the second in a series. First one's called Last Girl Gone, and I stole all the locations in Hillsboro when I wrote that book. And I think I set it in a fictional town in Missouri in the first draft, but eventually moved it back to Hillsboro, and it was very easy to do since I kind of took all the locations from town.
Nice. Now, you've taken this this What Lies Beneath. What's the day it came out?
Came out on July 12th, 2022.
Wow, that's just only been a couple of weeks.
That's
congratulations,
right.
Congratulations, man. That's awesome.
Thank you very much. I want to say congratulations to you guys on this show. I am a big fan, you know, longtime listener, first-time guest, and it's a pleasure to be here.
That's wonderful to hear.
You've been on a little book tour. Tell us about the book tour. How's that going?
It's going fantastic. You were kind enough to moderate one of my events just this past Saturday. You've got to be the absolute best in the business. Didn't you do like the SIBA, the Southern Independent Booksellers Association? Didn't you moderate their noir at the bar? No,
that was me. They're still cleaning up after that thing. Yeah, that was fun. We went down to McIntyre's book with yourself and Scott Blackburn, whose book, It Dies With You, also came out this summer. You and Scott both were part of the Yonder book club that we were doing pre-pandemic.
That's right. What were there, six of us?
There were six. And aside from you, Scott, and myself, who all got a book in, our buddy Russell Johnson just got a book deal with his book, Moonshine Messiah with Shotgun Honey. So that's four out of six.
If you join our writers group, 2/3 of you will get a book published. It has got to be, as far as I know, a record.
I mean, I might join if I can get a book published.
Yeah, well, we're very exclusive.
I've never written a word in my life. I don't even know how to write.
What would you write a book about, that. Alexis?
Yonder Bar.
Yeah? Would it be a murder mystery?
It would be a biography of you.
Oh, gross.
Posthumous.
Gross.
Murder. That's right, folks. Today our theme is murder. I don't think we've talked about that yet. And since your book is, I assume murders happen in it.
You assume correctly.
Can you give us like a brief just synopsis of what the book is about? I'm very curious.
Sure. I write about an investigative journalist named Laura Chambers who lives in Hillsborough, North Carolina. And in this book, we find out that when Laura was 8 years old, her best friend's entire family were killed in a home invasion gone wrong. And the next day, her best friend gets whisked away to distant relatives, never to be seen or heard from again. And 25 years later, a body turns up on the side of the freeway. And the more Laura looks into it, the more convinced she becomes this is her long-lost childhood best friend who came back to, she thinks, deliver her a message.
Cool. So this is the second in a series.
Yeah.
About the same woman.
That's right. You got it.
Is there going to be another one about
her? Ooh, wow. I cannot comment on that because I haven't written a third one or sold it. So I guess I can comment on it. I would love to write a third one. I would love to write something else in between, maybe take a little break. But yes, so far there's been two.
Okay.
You know, what's been fun about reading both of these Hillsborough books is that, you know, since we spend so much time in Hillsborough, it's fun to look at like the different landmarks you mentioned, and then when you give directions on how to get from one place to another to see if like, I don't know if I would have taken that way because it's quicker to go this way, but it's fun to look at the things that you get that you nail, and then some things where you're like, I know I've given you a hard time before, but one of my favorites to pick on you about is in the first book you talk about how the sheriff's deputy has a place on King Street. And I thought all through the book, I was like, there's no way a sheriff's deputy can afford to live on King Street.
Well, I think, I mean, Hillsborough smaller than it is in real life. Like Hillsborough has become a bustling place in real life. But I grew up in a small town and I think I kind of shrunk it down, at least for the book version. And then, yeah, sometimes, Eric, there's something called economy of story where you just want to have person get from A to B and have people be where you need them to be. And it's fiction. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. You can't stop me.
I bet I can point it out on the radio.
That's
in front
right.
Of
yeah.
Everybody. No, you do also, speaking of King Street, you do also have your character turn off of Churton onto King Street and pass a bookstore in a bar. So I thought that was hot. I wondered, are you talking about us at yonder?
Yeah, I think I called it, what, like a dive? I said it was the most disgusting bar, sticky floored bar that no one would ever go into. Yeah, that was yonder, of course. I read a fair portion of this book. I mean, some of this book, at least, in that group. And we used to very rock and roll of our writers group, to meet in a bar before it opens. Every Sunday morning, we would go out and do that. And so, yeah, absolutely, that's your bar.
I know we get shout outs in Scott Blackburn's book, It Dies With You, as well. I think each of us have a character named after us. I think
yeah.
That's like what the redneck swinger is named, like Pruitt or something. So there's an Eric spelt with a Y.
Far off the mark.
Pretty close.
Not a redneck. And then of course in my book that's coming out, Something Bad Wrong, released in March 21st, 23. There's a character named Heatherton.
Fantastic. Yeah. What am I up to? Can I ask? Can you drop a hand?
He's a shady realtor.
Hey, I'm not a realtor.
I know you don't know me very well, but are you going to name a character after me in your next book?
I would love to. I think Alexis is a great name for
Thank
a character. I mean, it's got a lot of gravitas. I mean, you could be like center stage, I think.
Yes. Finally, I've arrived.
Well, I tell you what, let's talk some more about this stuff. Let's take a break so that we can talk to that one sponsor we have left. And let's come back because I know what everybody's waiting for. Everybody wants us to ask Alexis some questions. So y'all kick it 1 minute and we'll be right back with Ask Alexis. Hang on.
My name is Hubert Davis, and 97.9 The Hill is my hometown radio station.
The tree that's left stuffs it up the hole in your culture. Give me back the Berlin Wall. Give me Stalin and St. Paul. I've seen the future, brother.
How Howdy Hillsboro. Thanks for joining us again on Howdy Hillsboro at 97.9 The Hill. My name is Alexis Bravos, and I'm joined here by my partner in crime, Eric Pruitt. And our guest today, J.G. Heatherton, is here to help us answer some questions from the Ask Alexis jar.
Oh, and I love, can I just say, I mean, of course, I'm a huge fan of murder mysteries, but maybe the thing in my life I'm even like a bigger fan of is like advice columns.
Really?
I'm like, oh yeah, I'm addicted to advice columns, okay. All of them.
Well, batter up, buddy.
Yeah, Ask Amy, Dear Prudence, I read them all on the regular, so I could not be more excited to answer some questions.
That is amazing. Okay. Well, should we get started?
Let's do it.
All right. This is probably the funniest question I've ever gotten. Dear Alexis, what personality should I assume when I go to a snobby art gallery opening in New York City? And there are some examples here. Artisanal check cashing owner, mushroom breeder, Amazon body painter. I personally think the artisanal check cashing owner is pretty funny. They're all funny. But I think going to a snobby art gallery opening, just don't do it. Like, you're not going to be able to look at the art unless this is a friend of yours, in which case I would just drink all the free wine. There's usually snacks, but yeah, they're always just super crowded. And I would just you're in New York. Go do something else. What would you guys do?
Well, I would say I would do none of those things. Desperation is a stinky cologne. These are all too try hard. I think you got to go in there. You want people to believe you're the real deal when you look at this art. Don't do anything. Dress as shabbily as possible. Like I'm dressed right now because I knew I would be on the radio and nobody could see me. I think if I came in there wearing flip-flops, people would really take me seriously.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, is he the artist?
Yeah. Yeah. He must be.
I always think this is the worst advice and never give it, but you should just be yourself. You're obviously pretty weird.
Gross.
And in a New York art gallery setting, you will fit right in. So yeah. Be yourself.
Okay. All right. Good advice. Let's move on. Dear Alexis, and this is just perfect for today. How can I become a good writer? I think this was probably designed for you to answer it. And since we've already established, I don't know how to read or write. I should probably let you take this.
We default this one to Grant. He's the one with the new book out.
Yes.
Grant, how does this stranger become a good writer?
Wow. First of all, thank you, questioner, for giving such a softball question for me right out of the gate. This is very easy. I don't know. I let me put this back to you, Eric. Agree or disagree with this proposition? You cannot be taught to write.
Yeah, I mean, you can be taught things.
Yeah.
You can be taught the difference between lay, lane, and laid.
yeah.
Which, I mean, to be honest, I still haven't learned, and my fifth book comes out in March.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't know. I'm not a good writer. All I do is just keep rewriting and rewriting until it does sound good. And, yeah, that's it.
But you are a good writer, so that might be the answer. Like, that might be the thing that... Do you think that secretly that's, like, what everybody feels like and is doing? That's my suspicion.
My answer actually would be, you know, the truth, and I never really say this in the conferences
but it's just,
or on the
this
panel,
is just us, I was going to say.
Truth,
let's be
just
real.
The three of us talking here. I was born this way. You can't, no one can actually do it. You know, like I just woke up and started doing it and it was just perfect on the first time out.
Yeah.
And anyone that's not, you should just give up.
But I have my doubts that you can be taught. But you have to like to read. And there's a great Ira Glass quote about how if you like to do something creatively, the thing that's painful is that the reason you want to do that thing is because you like it, because you have taste. And then when you go out and try to make something in that field, it of course inevitably will be terrible and suck. And it takes a long time to kind of get it to a place where you like it. And that gap is hard to overcome. That's probably what this person is asking about. They're saying, I wrote something and it's bad and I want it to be good. But you're right. You just got to keep working at it.
Practice.
I'm curious, though, at what age did y'all start writing?
I started writing when I was 5 years old. I didn't start publishing until, you know, 2014, I guess, when I had my first short film made. So, I mean, I have always written. I just didn't always have something to do with it until I was much older. So once I figured out how to publish and how to get films produced and stuff, you know, kaboom. But I've always written. My mother sent me the very first story I ever wrote, like when I was five. And it was, I mean, oddly enough, had some great like plot development. Spelling was horrible, you know, but like, yeah, it's great. It's just this really poorly spelled piece of paper with horrible penmanship on both sides. My mom kept weird things. That crazy lady had my teeth, like teeth from when I was a child and hair. Like she's trying to recreate another me or something. So the fact that she kept this short story was great, but teeth?
Yeah, if I can do a callback to a previous episode, I did hear about Alexis's love of rat tails, and I had a rat tail.
Oh my God.
Guess what? Here's the headline. I've still got it in a drawer in my parents' house.
Oh my God.
With the rubber band wrapped around it where they cut it off, and then it's in the pen drawer. It's still there last time I checked.
That's amazing. I love that. How old were you when you started writing?
Well, I think I was pretty late. I was a little self-conscious that I was like kind of a late starter. And since then, I've heard a few people answer that question, and maybe I'm not like as late as I thought, but I was well into my 20s. Mm. I was probably 24 maybe before I tried to like write a piece of fiction.
Had you been thinking about it for a while? I mean, what was the impetus behind it?
Not that long. Once I decided to do it, I just started doing it and found out that I really, really enjoyed it. But I think the thing that maybe I probably thought about it in an abstract way. But I think that just like we were talking about, maybe self-consciousness prevents you from like getting started on something. Once I actually sat down and did it, I found out I thought it was a lot of fun. But before that, never.
William Gay didn't start writing until he's in his 50s. And damn, I mean, he blew it out once he...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Charles Bukowski. He was pretty old, too. All right. Well, let's move on to another advice question. Dear Alexis, what is the optimal number of times to shake a martini? This is a trick question.
It is a trick question.
Now, this one has to be directed at me, right?
Do you shake your martinis?
Oh, guys, come on. Let's be serious. So, you think I own a martini shaker?
I think the rule, quote unquote rule, is that you should never shake something made with clear alcohol because, and this is just a myth, that you may bruise the gin. That's not actually a thing. You can't actually do that. If you want to shake your martini, go right ahead.
Well, my understanding is like if you have a dirty martini, you know, when you put the olive brine in there, shake the hell out of it.
Yeah. If there's vodka.
Anything with lemon or lime or like fruit juice, you shake.
Yeah.
But if it's just like gin with vermouth, you stir it.
Yeah.
So stir your martinis unless you put in olive brine or citrus juices.
And depending on your ice, how many times you stir it is also going to be important. If you got some nice big ice chunks, stir it like 50 times.
Now, there is an exception to this, is there are to all of them. And I found like when I'm wearing like the shirts that kind of come up about mid-bicep, and there's like three or four pretty girls standing there, I'll shake it just so I can like shake that bicep and let them see that thing, you know? And that's usually what I've learned from like dude bartenders, little zaddy bartenders all across the country. That's,
did you just use the word zaddy again?
I did.
Eric, you're becoming a zaddy. I'm so proud of you.
I'm sorry. I'm a little out of the loop.
Wait, you didn't listen to last week's episode?
What's a zaddy? Well, I can't. I mean, I'm not all the way caught up.
No, a zaddy?
No spoilers, but what's a zaddy?
A zaddy is a daddy that dresses nice. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean daddy. Like, I got kids. That's
no, you mean
dad.
Like, choke me daddy.
A daddy.
We're talking about a daddy.
Yeah. Daddy.
Yeah.
Choke me daddy.
Yeah. But what's the Z? He's not a natty daddy?
Yeah, it's like a natty daddy. He's a zaddy.
He's a zaddy. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
We're all zaddies here.
I thought you said you was down with how the kids talk, queen.
I mean, I'm a zaddy at heart.
All right.
That's not where it goes.
We're going to do a makeover later.
All right. Hey, I tell you what, let's take a quick break because that one sponsor is just, he's just dying to get a word in. But yeah, y'all stick around 1 second because we're going to return with a couple more questions with Alexis here on 97.9 The Hill and our guest, J.G. Hedgerton. Y'all hang on 1 second.
He said, I am spending my life here. I ain't living alone. Ain't breaking no rocks on the chain gang. Breaking out and heading home. Gonna make a
jailbreak.
And I'm looking towards the sky. I'm gonna make a
jailbreak.
I wish that I could fly. All in the name of...
Your hometown radio station, 97.9 The Hill. Where Hillsboro listens. Streaming live on chapelboro.com.
Now this one to the kids and to the girl and with the angel face and the devil heart. You know, so rock 'em off and track 'em. Must be old time players come to deal in the case. Step up, my youth. Hear this.
I know this little girl. Her name is Maxine. Her beauty's like a bunch of roses. If I ever tell you about Maxine, you would say I don't know what I know. But murder she wrote.
Real, real.
Murder she wrote. Murder she wrote.
Howdy, Hillsboro. Welcome back. 97.9 The Hill. You're here with Howdy Hillsboro, Eric Pruitt, Alexis Bravos, joined by crime novelist J.G. Heatherton, who right now is standing. Get out of there. That's a pile of poison ivy. That's a big patch of poison ivy that J.G. Heatherton is standing in. And we're currently on Okinichi Mountain. And Alexis is accepting a dare to eat this mushroom we found. Just eat it.
I think it's okay, though, yeah. Because it's red,
it's
right?
Gonna, yeah.
It's going to be fine. Y'all call in the number right now to tell Alexis whether or not she should eat this mushroom or not.
It's too late. I already ate it.
Red mushroom at night, sailor's delight. You're going to be fine.
There you go.
Okay. I'm going to start feeling something soon, right?
Before that baby kicks in, why don't you ask another question real quick?
All right.
Ask Alexis. By the way, if you have a question for Alexis, please come in. Write it down. Come into the bar, Yonder Bar at 114 West King Street on Hillsboro. Write it down on a piece of paper and stick it in our pickle jar.
Just jam it right in.
You can go to chapelboro.com to the Howdy Hillsboro page, and there is an anonymous portal. Come get in our portal. Alexis, yeah. What you got?
Dear Alexis, why are people more judgy? Is that a word? On the swipey apps. Okay. I assume he's talking about dating apps in which you swipe whether or not you like someone or want to connect with them. I can answer this with a lot of authority because I did attempt to do online dating several times over the last few years. Never to any success whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I think it's almost like a video game where you're looking at pictures of people and swiping and you don't even, like sometimes you don't even read the profile because you're just judging it off this one photo. And it's very hard to get a sense of what a person is actually like. If you would, you know, vibe with their personality or if you'd have chemistry with them. I really think that dating apps are crap. And I can't believe that anyone's ever gotten a real date off of one of them. Do y'all have any? I mean, you haven't done it. You've been married since the dawn of time.
No, I got married before MySpace, but, you know.
What about you? Have you done dating apps before?
No, I also have been married since I met my wife in 2007.
Okay.
And so that was before I think I was still resisting, like, getting a smartphone. I was, like, one of the last few.
Wow.
I would use other people as my smartphone. I said I had voice recognition, and I would just tap somebody on the shoulder and be like, can you look up? And it works great. People totally understand you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seems very dehumanizing. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys ever hear of Dunbar's number?
No.
It's the number of faces a person can, like, remember and recognize and associate with a name. And it's only like 250 people or 500 people or something like
that's
that.
247 more than I can do.
Yeah. And I'm not great with names, but the faces I do remember. But it's weird to think, like, that's everybody. That's, like, all your family and all your friends and everyone you hate, because you can't hate somebody if you can't even, like, remember them. They don't register. And, like, everyone who maybe you could be a potential partner is in there versus whatever this other thing is where it's just a sea of a million people and it seems, I don't know, untenable or something.
Yeah.
We got a girl that comes in, a woman that comes into the bar, who's like a dating coach, and she told me once, she said, like, if you are short, because, like, so many people have, like, you know, the filters that they put on these dating things, that they only want a man above a certain height, you know, they only want somebody that looks a certain way. So if you're short or, like, you're, you know, got, I don't know, a unibrow or, like, sorry, Grant, but, like, or, like, whatever.
It's really not that noticeable.
I mean, yeah, it's glasses help. But, like, yeah, if you, you know, they're, like, just don't even get on apps, you know, because, like, the way it's unfortunate, but, like, the way that these filters work will weed you out anyway. So it's like all you're going to be exposed to are people that are into, like, superficial things like that. So it's like you need to invest your energy somewhere else besides an app.
And what was her advice as to where to go? I guess this person must
get involved
need advice.
In community
yeah.
events.
Yeah.
You know, like things you like frisbee golf or whatever the hell pickleball is. Or go down to like the farmer's market or hang out in yonder, because we have all sorts of crazy events. Like this week, we have the Carrboro Film Festival's mm-hmm. 1 hour thriller block or 2 hour thriller block. At Yonder Bar on Wednesday. You can come in there and meet like-minded people.
Heck yeah. And last week we had Noir at the Bar, and man, did that get crazy.
Speaking of Noir at the Bar, you tore it up this last one, Grant. Wow, what a reading. What a reading.
Thank you. I didn't think I could pull off a British accent for that long, but people told me it was really great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Do we have time for one more?
Well, we had time to find out, like, you know, speaking of like Noir at the Bar, like when you're in Hillsborough, Grant, because, you know, this show is called Howdy Hillsborough, like, when you're in Hillsborough, what do you like to do? When you're taking folks out, what do you like to do besides ride around and imagine killing people?
Well, don't get me
wrong. Typewriter.
Yeah, I carry my typewriter. It's very heavy. And don't get me wrong, the views here on the top of Okinichi Mountain are beautiful. But I go to another Okinichi. I like to go to that Okinichi Speedway. Mm. I like to do my mile run. I can get, you know, I'm under 6 minutes now. I'll do like a 5:45 or a 5:50 if I'm really feeling it. And great place. I mean, of course, I'm also making NASCAR car sounds as I do it, because you get to run around. You get to pretend like you're a real life stock car.
You got a pit crew filling you up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you actually murdered some people on the Okinichi Speedway in your first book, Last Girl Gone.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I used to walk my dog there. And that's where, I don't know, I came up with the idea, I guess.
Well, dude. Grant, it has been just the pleasure of all pleasures, you know, having you on Howdy Hillsborough. You have anything for him, or are you done with him?
I think we're done. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
We've really loved having you. And you guys, you want to get more of J.G. Heatherton, you can get as much as you can possibly stand. Go down to Purple Crow or wherever you get your books and ask for J.G. Heatherton's What Lies Beneath, which is the second in the Laura Chambers series. The first is Last Girl Gone. Trust me, you don't need to read one or the other. You should read them both. But even if you started with What Lies Beneath, it's amazing. So, you know, get them both, get one, get all, have fun. Read a book, damn it.
Yeah, read a book.
We'll see y'all next week. Join us back next week, because we're going to have Christina Casa. Where will we meet her at? What iconic location? Oh, there's only one way to find out. Tune in to Howdy Hillsborough.
Thanks, y'all.
I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and